Praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised. Yahweh is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto Yahweh, our Elohim, who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raised up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye Yah.
What a great God we serve. He's so good to us. I want to welcome everyone to our Passover celebration. We're here to give honor to the Lord. In the beginning of our service, the song, the scripture reading, all showing that this is all about praising Yah, giving him the glory, giving him the honor that he deserves. The Hallel simply means to praise him. And that's so important. We ought to give him all the praise today. He deserves the praise. And it's for us to reflect, it's to make sure that we understand how important it is to take the time necessary to understand the things of God and what he laid out for us. The feast are just that. That's what they are. And this is the first feast of a brand new year for us. This feast is the only feast that speaks of the beginning and the end, all encapsulated in the same feast. We do have a feast at the end of our feast days that talks about just the end. But today we want to focus the beginning to the end. He basically tells us in this feast how important we are, how valuable we are, and what he supplied for to meet our need. It's so important. So we're just so thankful. We ask if everyone would stand, please. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're just going to ask him for everything we do today. We wanted to make sure that we honor him. That's our goal, to honor him, give him all the praise and glory that he deserves. Father, we just thank you for a great day. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord. We know that you're a God that cares for us. You took a people out of a people, and you started this thing on how you can get us back to you. And we see this all throughout this Passover. And we want to make sure that we honor you in everything. There may be some things, Lord, that we just fail to see. We don't mean it in any way. We ask you, Lord, that you would open up our understanding. Give us eyes to see what you're really saying, ears to hear what you're describing to us, because definitely we want to do that. But Lord, we lay out this service today in remembrance of the price that has been paid for all of us. We know that your only son, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's the one, Lord, that you selected. You picked him. And we thank you for that. And he who knew no sin became sin. So we can worship you and honor you. And we pray that throughout this service, that's exactly what we do. We pray, Lord, that we can take a time to celebrate, remember, but most certainly, Lord, we never want to forget the cost, what it cost to have us have this night tonight. It wasn't free. It cost. It cost a life. And we want to honor that life. We thank you for that. I pray for each one that's here. God, those that weren't able to make it, we pray for their life. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So we'll see if we can have this thing work. We definitely want it to be a blessing to you. So we got several things that we'll look at today, and we're going to take our time, just kind of go through each part of it and see what this reflects on. So everybody knows the biblical feast, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Pretty much we're going to be taking part in those three of those this week. So I want you to just get your mind on this is a time for feast. This is our time to celebrate. It's time to remember. It's time to reflect on these wonderful principles that he laid out in Scripture. We're not talking about anything that the Bible doesn't describe. It describes it. And I think, you know, I sometimes still feel like we're just beginning. It's all new to us. When you do something for 30 years and then you start doing something different, it's a challenging time. But my prayer is that we'd see how important this is to our life, and we grab hold to it and let it minister to our lives the way God describes it. So also we have Pentecost, we have trumpets, Day of Atonement, and of course tabernacles. So all throughout this feast you'll be seeing these things minister to you, your life, and hopefully we can emphasize how important they'll be for all of us. In Exodus chapter 12, verses number 1 through 14 is known as the safety instructions. These instructions are for our own benefit. At that particular time, it was something that the children of Israel needed to know. They needed to understand these principles. Before I read these instructions, I want you to understand that this was also a time to remind them. The children of Israel weren't the first people that God called out. If you go back, we talk about a man named Abraham. He said, Abraham, he told him this. He said, leave. Leave is departing from the ways of the people, their ideas, the things that they celebrated. You leave from that. I'm taking you out of that. And you leave from your people, from your kindred, from the land. You would leave from your land and go to the place that I'll show you. What was God doing? He said, in order for me to do what I promised, in order for me to do in your life what you're going to need, you're going to have to come out from that. You're going to have to separate yourself unto me, and I'm going to have to strip you clean and then rebuild you back so you know how to worship me the way that is necessary. And that's what happened to Abraham. It wasn't an easy thing for Abraham, but he called him from everyone. He said, you leave that, and God performed a miracle. Remember, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that. We can't never forget that. He's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. Very, very, very important. So I want to read this to you in Exodus 12, verse number 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you a beginning of months. A beginning. So what do we learn from this? God wants us to forget everything we've learned before. And he says, this is going to be a beginning of months for you. You have to understand, he wasn't dealing with people who was just born. He was dealing with people who come out of slavery and being indoctrinated with all sorts of paganism. They were indoctrinated with it. And so he had to take them from that indoctrination and said, this is what you'll do now. He said, this month shall be unto you beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So down to the month and the day, God gets very precise about what he wants. And you notice that throughout the Bible. God doesn't just kind of throw things out there and have the chips fall. That's how it'll be. That's how you worship me. He tells us. He explains himself. If you know, as Torah keepers, we've been reading the Torah. I mean, you're getting some of this Torah stuff, and he tells you what he wants, how many he wants. He tells you what size, what the material should be of. This is important to God. So he says, this shall be a month, the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Take a lamb. Now, why is this reading important? Because this deals with our salvation. This deal, we're going to have a lamb, and this lamb's going to be very important. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. A lamb for a house. So think about that. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. What's the lamb for? Souls. Individual people. What souls? Everybody in here. There's souls in here. You're considered a human being. And we just think about that. That stuff ought to set in you, in your spirit, when you read this. Every man according to his eating shall make an account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Think about that. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse number 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. He's telling them, you shall take the blood of the lamb. Now we have a lamb. The lamb's fine. The lamb's healthy. There's no blemish. But all of a sudden he starts talking about the blood of the lamb. What is that? What has happened if you get the blood from a perfect lamb, not a sick lamb, unblemished lamb, and you got the blood of that lamb? What happened to the lamb? The lamb has been slain. The lamb has been sacrificed on behalf of the house. Think about that. The lamb had been slain on behalf of the house. A lamb for a house. That should be something that you hold dear to your life. A lamb had been slain. In our case, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he was slain. A lamb for a house. The lamb for the whole world. He gave his life for the whole world. That whosoever, the Father says, whosoever believes in him should not perish. What was he saying before that? I love the world. I love all humanity. I want them to have the best. And they shall eat the flesh therein that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And this is one of the things we'll be taking part in again tonight, unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs, and you shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with his pertness thereof. And you shall let nothing of its remains until morning, and that which remain of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Why? It is Yahweh's Passover. It's Yahweh's Passover. I want to ask you this question. Maybe we need to ask it to ourselves often, more often. Who supplied the lamb? Who supplied the lamb? If you want to take it more to heart, every man in here, take your son and give him up for a sacrifice and see how that would feel. Think about that. Your son. You would have a feeling that would come over you that's going to be hard to describe. And that's what Yahweh done for all of us. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land. What is this about? It's about the firstborn. How do you save the firstborn? How do you save the firstborn? This is what Passover is trying to tell us. Both man and beast, and against all the mighty ones of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you. When you see the blood, I will pass over you. How many of you know what is God looking for in our lives? Our good behaviors? It's not what he's looking for. He can't see good in anyone until he sees the blood. I will see the blood and pass over you. What's the first thing he looks for in all of our lives? Our talent, our gifts, our way we preach, how we articulate scripture. He's not looking for that. First thing God looks for, does he see the blood? Do you have a sacrifice made for you? That's what gets you back to me. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I'm not sure where we dropped off that forever part, but we know the reason we're here now. The reason we're here now. God, what does he start with? He starts with you and I, and we need a lot of work on our life. And he's going to show us how does he work on each person's life. He shows us throughout this. Tonight, I want to talk about the four cups of Passover. In front of you, you'll see there's four cups. In those four cups, there's wine and water. There was wine. You might still see something floating in your cup. Don't be alarmed. That was ice. Okay? So we put ice in there. It was the best way to do the water, so we could put it in. And now there's wine on top of that. Blood and water. That's significant throughout the scripture. Blood and water. And that's what came out of the side of Jesus when he was pierced with the sword. Blood and water. How did the first miracle in Canaan took place with what? Water and blood. Think about that. What does the wine represent? The wine represents the blood. The water, he's letting us know, I did it for you. Everything you ever going to need, he embodied it. And that's why we did this tonight, so you can see this. I know this is going to be different. This is going to be the first of my prayers. Many of these Passovers that we having to take our time and look at everything to make sure that we're within Scripture. And so I want you to understand what this represents. This year, Yahweh has been speaking this message to me through the four traditional cups of the Passover Seder. I kept looking at this and looking. I said, Lord, we trying to leave what's tradition, and we trying to get back to your word. Well, there were some things that they traditionally did that was in the word. And so you got to be careful you don't leave something that you should be doing because of the word tradition. Right? You know, you can have bad traditions and good traditions. And we're praying that you understand the good that comes out of this. And hopefully I can show you that tonight. I had not previously meditated on the fact that the Passover meal centered around four. The Passover meal centers around four. The number four in Hebrew is the letter delet. The delet is a picture of a what? A door. It's around a door. I want you to think about this. Where'd they put the blood at? On the doorpost. This is very important. Because let me tell you, what does a door represent? The door represents a couple of things. A door has an ability to lock you out. And it has an ability to let you in. You can be locked in and locked out. I mean, understand that. Doors are very significant. You put doors on something and you lock them because you don't want to let people in. You put doors on prisons because once you got them in, you don't want to let them out. Doors are significant, very significant. So it's amazing that the Passover is built around four. If four is important and it's valuable for our life. Passover is Yahweh's appointed time, or Moed, that commemorates the Israelite applying the blood of the lamb to the lintel and the doorpost of their homes. Without this act of obedience through faith, the death angel would have smitten Israel's firstborn sons along with the Egyptians during the 10th plague. He would have had no choice. The death angel would have smitten all firstborn. But God's trying to show us a picture. What did God lose in the garden? His what? Adam was a representation of a what? Firstborn. How many men were before Adam? None. if no man was before Adam, then he must have been the first. And the first man that was in the garden, he failed, so God had to bring another Adam. How many understand that? This is significant to us. So it's all about saving the firstborn. You know how God looks at you? He looks at you as his first. You know how the world looks at you? There are a lot of you. A couple of you died. Don't matter. But that's not how God looks at us. He views us as his first. And he's doing everything he can to protect his first. So the death angel would have smitten Israel's firstborn son along with the Egyptians during the 10th plague. Moreover, Yeshua declared himself the door. Yeshua declared himself the door. John 10, verse 7 through 10. Then said Yeshua unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. Oh, by the way, when you look at that Hebrew letter, Dalet, it represents, if you look at it in ancient Hebrew, it represents door. That's how it would be described, as a door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now he's going to set himself apart here. He talks about those come before him. He said the way they treated God's people, they were like thieves and robbers. How many know we still got a lot of thieves and robbers in the world today? They get up and preach the gospel and their intent is to steal, to kill, and destroy, and we shout hallelujah and amen when they're done. We got to be careful. How many made some changes in your life, and you don't just watch everything that you see? You don't listen to everything you see. There's a reason you did that. You did that on your own. I didn't give a list to nobody. You did that on your own because you know that everything that's been said, you didn't see no fruit. There was nothing that they bore that matched what they said. And so you withdrew from that. And that, let me tell you, when you first do it, it's hard. You have all sorts of mixed feelings. But listen to what Yeshua said. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. He said it again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you enter in the door, by him you shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pastures. I mean, thank God for that. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. All those in covenant with Yahweh must by faith apply the Lamb's blood to the doorposts of their hearts. This is what this is all about. It kind of gets down home to you and I. Applying it to the doorposts of our hearts. There has always only been one way to the Father. Only one way to the Father. Passover is the entry or doorway to the covenant with Yahweh. Outside the covenant door, the enemy seeks one's destruction. When you stand at the door and you're just hanging out, what does the enemy do? Seeks your destruction. This illustration through Cain, remember, sin crouches at the door. He told Cain, he said, if you don't come in and get in covenant with me and do what I'm asking you to do, my ways will be your ways. Everything I tell you to do, you're willing to do. Sin crouches at the door. Satan's out there and he's just waiting to tear people up. And with the death angel in Egypt passing over the homes with the blood of the Lamb. So where was death angel going to make its attempt? Soon as it saw the blood, it was diverted elsewhere. No blood, you're going to deal with the consequence of not being covered. And I hope that you understand how valuable that is. Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it says, when they were come and had gathered the assembly together, they rehearsed all that Elohim had done with them and how he had opened. No, we're talking about Elohim. He opened the door of faith. Isn't that amazing? He opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's incredible. So if you want to know how we got there, he opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. At one time, that was closed off. But God always had in his plan, I'm going to save all of humanity, not some. Remember the 10 tribes that disseminated into the Goyim, the nations. He said, I come for the lost house of Israel. And he got that. He made that because the door of faith was open to the Gentiles. And this is what it would look like. I'm telling some of the guys next year what we want to do. We want to incorporate some things. And listen, don't wait. You can't wait till like 2-3 days before. You got to start preparing your heart, preparing your life. Start planning. You know, when we celebrated other feasts or other celebrations, you didn't wait till the day of to do your decorations. You planned it ahead. You got excited about it. We're talking about your very life here. We got to give more thought to this. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm fussing, but I am. Psalms 116, verse number 12 through 14. I'm going to just pull a few of these verses out. What shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. So I want you to understand these verses I put have to do with these cups that are in front of us. I will take of the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh, and I will pay my vows unto Yahweh now in the presence of all his people. Before you can pay, before you can do that, what's the one thing he wants us to do? Take the what? Cup of salvation. So, if you're going to pay your vows to Yahweh, what did Jesus say? Unless you drink it, my blood, and eat my body, you don't even have a part with me. So it's important that we take of the cup before we pay our vow. Because if you don't take of the cup, which represents the wine, represents the blood, how you can pay the vow? You have nothing to pay with. So you take it in and you're part of it, becomes a part of your life. That's very important for us. The number four has a lot in common with the number seven, or fullness. Or fullness. It alludes to authority, government, and servanthood. First mentioned on day four of creation. Day four of creation. That's pretty amazing because on day four, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he said, let these be for signs, for seasons, for days. I'm not making this up. In years. On the fourth day. What do we have in front of us? Four cups. It's very significant. You don't hear a lot about it because we never took the time to meditate on it. But this is significant to us, valuable to us. Now, the Jewish people done this for a long time and nobody paid no attention. It's just tradition. I'm trying to figure out where they got it from. Was it a good tradition or a bad one? I submit to you, and I hope you'll see it for yourself when I'm done, that we have to make sure that we apply our lives to this principle because it's significant. All these belong to Messiah Yeshua. He truly is the door to life. He's the door to life. The four represents the door. He's the door to life. Not one of these won't represent Yeshua. All of them will. Passover may be the entry to the covenant, but it points ahead to the completion, complete redemption to come. So it's the head and the end, the beginning and the end. Uh-oh, I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Four represents that. because it's the door. Passover may be the entry to the covenant, but it points ahead to completion. What does the door represent? I'm walking in a door and I'm entering in. It represents beginning. It also represents your ending. So when you walk in, it's a completion. You close the door. There's going to be a time when the door is going to be shut. Remember that when Noah had the ark? And he gave time for everybody. And then God came and did what? Shut the what? Shut the door. That was the end of it. There's going to be a time that Yahweh himself is going to shut all evil. All's going to be shut out. And it's going to be a kingdom with only God's people in it, in harmony. Death will be the last one to be put down. And then God's going to do what? He's going to shut us in. And we'll forever be with him. It's going to be incredible. The four cups of Passover mirror this truth in a profound way. They are based on the following passage from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Then Yahweh said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh, and I appeared unto Abraham. He was letting him know that you're not the first one I started with. I started with Abraham. I said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy people and go where I'm going to show you. I'm going to strip you away. And I'm going to only teach you my ways. Remember that. I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob by the name of El Shaddai. El Shaddai. But by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and their land and the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Remember, God has a covenant. And what did he do? He remembered it. You know, when we come to the Lord, we make covenants with God. And sometimes, you know what we got to do? Remember our covenant. The only time you're going to slack is when you're not remembering your covenant. The only time it's going to be where you feel like I'm not doing anything, I might as well quit. I can tell you, you're not remembering your covenant. He remembered his. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh. And then he gives four things that he's going to do. Four things. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Let me see that one. I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you an Elohim, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. And others just go along with it. Which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham. Remember that. He always brings us back to the first. When he made the covenant to Isaac and Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am Yahweh. The cup of sanctification. Now, when you look at your cups, when you look at them, your right hand will be where we start. Okay, so we start from your right hand. So the first cup here would be the cup of sanctification. What does he say? I will bring you out. The cup of deliverance. Sometimes it's called the plagues or the judgment. That would be the one that your cup sits on a napkin. There's a reason it sits there. It's not to hold your napkin. We'll show you that in a little bit. The cup of redemption or blessing. I will redeem you. Notice that. I will redeem you. And then the cup of praise or hallel, the cup of praise, hope, kingdom, salvation, restoration. I will take you for my people. All of these are significant, and we want to do, we'll take our time and look at each one. So the first one that we're going to look at is the cup of sanctification. The cup of sanctification. I will bring you out. Exodus 6:6. Before saving faith, there is utter darkness. Before saving faith, there's utter darkness. We are like dead men walking blindly toward our ultimate demise. In other words, one is in complete bondage to sin and death at this stage. There is no escape. Then enters Yahweh. Despite one's circumstance and multiple transgressions, the Creator of heaven and earth loves His creation. He loves you. He loves you. Therefore, with a mighty hand, He separated us from bondage of sin and death. One simply must believe His promise and apply the blood to the doorpost. Apply the blood to the doorpost. So in front of you, there's four cups that represent the door. We're going to apply the blood, as we did, to the doorpost of their hearts by faith. Elohim alone separates His people from the clutches of Pharaoh so they can freely serve Him. Why did we get free from the clutches of Pharaoh? So we can freely serve Him. When enslaved to sin and death, one cannot serve or worship Yahweh in the manner He prescribes. Logically, the first step is for Him to call or bring one out of depravity. This is the symbolism of the first cup, sanctification. You have been set apart, called out, marked as one of His children. That ought to make somebody want to shout hallelujah right there. I might read it again. You have been set apart, called out, marked as one of His children. Passover is the Moed feast that demonstrates this reality in process, deed, and ritual. And we can't forget that. So the ritual is another word that we tend to frown upon. The problem is we don't make it a point that it's something that becomes value to us. We got the world that has more ritual and behavior where they consistently do something than the church does. We want God to come and meet us on our terms, doing it our way. When He says, I gave you a method, this is what you do. So it might have looked like a ritual to everybody when they were putting the blood on the post. Why y'all doing that? Because we have been commanded to do so. After that moment, they took four cups and they made sure that they kept this up. The Christian church comes along and says, well, our four is a lot and people don't like to sit too long, so we're going to narrow it down to one. And we've been doing that ever since we can remember. Right? Well, I'm going to just make my case and we'll see what the Word says. By looking back on the original Passover, the first cup is akin to salvation from the harsh bondages of Egypt or Pharaoh, darkness, sin, and death. Remember, that was the condition of man until Yahweh walks in. Darkness, sin, and death. Who wants to go back there? We don't want to go back to darkness, sin, and death. Yahweh walks in, He changes all that. Like the ancient Israelites, one might still be in a figurative Egypt or the world at this point. But the plague of judgment placed on the evil taskmasters have lessened one's hardships considerably. It was tough. Light has pierced the darkness with a grand promise. We believe, watch, and wait for His deliverance. We believe, watch, and wait for His deliverance. The cup of sanctification as it applies to Messiah. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Messiah sanctifies us. And for their sakes, I sanctified myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. How many ready to take the cup of sanctification? Let's all give him thanks. Father, we thank you for the cup of sanctification and what it says about us and who we are. And we thank you before you came through for us, it was utter darkness, sin, and death. But now we have been sanctified. We give you praise in Jesus' name. The cup of deliverance, I will deliver you, Exodus 6:6. The second cup is based on Yahweh's promise to deliver you. How is this different from the first cup? Sanctification, deliverance. Bringing you out, being called out and separated is only the beginning of the redemption process. Once separated unto the Father, one is still in great need of rescue. The trappings of Egypt are many. These bondages have many forms with very tight shackles. Like Pharaoh, they do not want to let us go. And maybe when I'm talking, you're gonna say, that's what it is. That's what I'm fighting. They don't want to let you go. They're just like what happened to them. If you've ever had a tough time with, I don't know why I'm still feeling this way, because it doesn't want to let you go. You have been a host body for sin. And if you're not available, where would it go? It's going to not let you go. Like Pharaoh, they do not want to let you go. While some of these trappings are external, many are internal. We see in society today that both of these are very active. At one time, a lot of people didn't have a lot of external, but internally they were a wreck. But you couldn't see it. That's what folks do in church today. We put our nice suit on, come to church, but internally we're a wreck. But we're not doing like the external guys, so we look much better. Both of them will destroy your life. The internal and external, both of them will destroy your life. Once time in Egypt, the world has created a lot of soul ties. I mean, those soul ties are not easy to untie. One's nefesh, or flesh, likes many of the delicacies in which it has grown accustomed. You might not want it spiritually, but your flesh loves it. And you got to live with this guy every day. It got accustomed to the delicacies of Egypt, in which it has grown accustomed. Hopefully, Abba will not have to send plagues or judgments in order for one to turn fully toward him. And that's what we're going to remember with this cup. The good news is that no matter the issue, deliverance is available. It is available. It's never too late, and one is never too old to experience this sweet release. It's never too late, and one is never too old to experience this sweet release. When Israel was delivered from the burdens of the Egyptians, it was so that they could worship Yahweh as he intended. Remember, let them go so that they may go and worship me. That was the intent. We want to be delivered because we're tired of being the way we are. But then we get where we're not giving God the worship he deserves. And then what happens? If we don't do nothing, he sweeps the house, he cleans it. We don't do anything with it. We don't perform worship. Then seven other demons, more wicked than before, they'll bring it. And then the latest state of that person's worse than when they started. I've seen it. Therefore, anything that hinders one from being able to worship him in fullness can be likened to one of the plagues, whether they are external or internal. Anything that is placed before Yahweh is an idol of the heart that needs to be removed. You have to ask yourself today, do I have any idols of the heart that I need to remove? The point is to keep seeking for the promise. Our deliverance is mighty. The 10 plagues are up before you. One of the things they would do, the Jews would take some time to remember these plagues. So they would take their finger and dip it in the cup and let it drip on the napkin for each one. So at this time, I want you to think about that. Take some time and dip your finger in the second cup and drip it on your napkin. And remember that God sent these 10 plagues. These 10 plagues were significant. They're very significant. And just take some time to remember that. Do I have anything in my life that I need to get rid of? Is any of this stuff holding me back? Do I need to take some time here to really reflect? What am I doing in my life? Think about it. These 10 times. He turned water into blood. Infestation of frogs, influx of gnats, mass of flies, livestock all died, outbreak of boils, pounding hailstorm, swarms of locusts, overwhelming darkness, and death of the firstborn. Think of that. This cup can be compared to being delivered and rescued from the clutches of Pharaoh. Though the enemy chased them with great haste and with many chariots, the mighty pillars, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, would not allow the Egyptians to touch even one hair of the head of the Israelites. Not one hair of their head. Think about that. The cup of deliverance. I will rescue you from their bondage. Messiah delivers us. Not just sanctifies us, but delivers us. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Before we take the cup of redemption, we're going to take some time to look at this. At this particular time, there's in front of you just a piece of parsley. And he wanted them to remember through this that where you were, it was some bitter times. It wasn't easy. There's a little plate in front of you. Several of you may have to share. But it's just some salt water. I want you to take that herb as a reminder. As a reminder of what happened? He wanted them to remember that this, I want you to remember, I took you out of this. I want you to think about your life. Think about your darkest times. Think about the times that you wept over your life and the condition you was in. You wept over it. You said, man, I don't know if I'll make it to the morning. This is to remind you where you were and where he took you out of. It's just to remember how important it is. I want you to really think about it. If God wouldn't intervene for you, he wouldn't introduce you to the door, you could have been locked out forever. Think about that. Locked out forever. How deep and dark and scary that is. But instead, he opened the door of faith to us. I want to remember. And this might not be much to a lot of people. But when I started thinking about this, I said, wow, I want to remember that if he wouldn't have come through for me, I'd be in a mess. And I'm going to remember my darkest days, how terrible it was, how God took me out of bondage. He sanctified me and delivered me. I want you to dip that and take a piece of it. And just remember that, how important that is. And then hold up the cup. Father, we give you thanks for what you brought us from. We honor you for what you did for us. Let's take that cup. At this time, we're going to take part in the meal. The meal set before us. We have unleavened bread. We have vegetables and we have the meat. I want you to enjoy yourself. This is a time not to talk about fishing and hunting and jobs and all that. This is Passover. Talk about what God brought you out of. Strike a conversation up how you're so glad that what God did in your life. When we come back, we're going to take part in the communion cup, the third cup. That's the one that Yeshua began to describe. But here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to just get up, randomly. You can get up from your seat and come and serve yourself. Sit down at your seat and enjoy the meal. It's a time for us to celebrate. We have lots of unleavened bread there, and then we'll come back and we'll continue our service. What you can do, because we have separate tables, maybe you want to get your vegetables, or you can get your fruit salad, or the meat, whatever one you want to get. There's several tables, so you can come up and kind of serve yourself. is often called the cup, the redemption, or the blessing. Yahweh buys back or redeems his people from the realm of sin and death. At the first Passover, the blood of the Lamb saved the lives of the Israelites. But with Pharaoh and Egypt closing in, many were sure that Yahweh brought them into the desert to die. I want you to think about this scene. It seems hopeless. And notice the progress here. You think from sanctification, the cup, and the deliverance. But what do we see here? A process. You can't just get it all out on day one. It's a process. So here, God's having to come through for him again. If you are honest, sometimes we feel the same way. Are you still there, Abba? Father, where are you? Things are looking pretty bad down here, and I'm about to be swallowed up by the enemy. At this point, Israel would be standing in front of the reed of Red Sea, people that have known nothing but bondage often believe the worst in hard circumstances. It takes intent and time to change one's attitude from victim to victor. Sometimes, and so I'm reading this because this is the time where we ought to be more patient about when others come to understand that truth in their own lives. Maybe you're not a person that you know, a family member, or a neighbor, or maybe someone attending a different church. Maybe they're not where you are, but you have to be patient. Because remember, you're not the door. He's the door. And they have access to the door just like you and I have access to the door. And we ought to make that available to everyone. To the Israelites' natural eye, their circumstance appeared to be hopeless, even though they experienced the miracle of the plagues and the pillar of the cloud and the fire. They still weren't convinced that Elohim would actually save them. They'd already been through all that. Remember, we dropped the drops from the second cup? They remembering. We didn't have that one hit us. That one didn't hit us. This one didn't hit us. That's what you're supposed to be thinking about. He saved them from all this, and now they're doubting whether he can save them. At this point, you think, my, when are they going to get it? In fact, it probably felt as if he had led them into a horrible trap. Elohim forbid. But that was far from the true intent of our loving Elohim. Instead, he wanted the people and us to be completely confident in his saving power and his great affection toward them. In Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you had seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. What a deliverance. Yahweh shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I mean, thank God for that. Moses tells the people to stand still and see the salvation. That is Yeshua of Yahweh. That's what we have to understand. Our salvation is Yeshua. Our salvation, his Yeshua, will accomplish our complete redemption from Egypt, sin and death. Yahweh will fight for us while we shut our doubting mouths. This cup is drunk after the meal. We just had our meal. After the meal, this cup is drunk. In the traditional Seder, it is this cup that Yeshua likens to the new covenant and his shed blood. So at this particular time, we're going to have our children participate. So we're about to take the bread And we're going to take part in this communion. So I want all of our children that didn't have blue cups in front of you to come on up here. I'm going to give you the instructions of the service. All of the children that didn't have the blue cups in front of you, that means you were probably 12 on down. Just stand right in the front up here, right here. I'm going to give you the instructions of the service. Turn, face me. There you go. Okay. This is our kids, and let me tell you, let me give instructions first to mom and dad. Passover cereals. I'm not sure what you're doing at home, but you ought to be training them and teaching them principles of Passover. This ought to be an exciting time for their life. They're going to be old enough to make their own decisions, and you want them to enter through the door. Make sure you know the Passover verse as well so you can teach your children. So So this is the instructions. This is called matzah bread, unleavened bread. Somewhere in the church, there's matzah hidden. Okay? And you need to find the matzah. It's going to be wrapped in a cloth like this with a string tied around it. There's two of them. And it's not on the platform. You can't go on the platform. But anyway, not out those two doors. Anywhere in this sanctuary here, there's two of the matzahs. Okay? And you're going to go find the bread and bring it back to me as soon as you find it, okay? All right, go ahead. Not on the platform. It's not up there. Look good. Go on. Go look. Bring the matzah back. It's out there somewhere. Go find it. Man, y'all hear them good. They can't find them. Why? You got to put it where they can find it. Oh, come. Yay, it's one. Keep Destiny, come stand right here. Keep looking. There's another one. One more. Just hold it. Keep looking. No, that's not the mind. He said, I found a treasure chest. He pointed at the bread right there. No. You better give them more rules then. Never find it. It's not on the platform, but it could be other places. But not on the platform. Come up here, right here. Stand right here. Stand right there. Okay, hold it. No, you hold it. Okay, kids. Everybody come back, all the kids. Okay. So, Christ represents the bread of life. And the matzah was hid. But then, what God did, he redeemed. He bought it back. And so I'm buying back the matzah for communion. Can I have your matzah? Thank you. Can I have your matzah? The matzah has been redeemed. Let's give God praise. Okay, y'all can go back to your seat. Okay, before we read the text for the communion, we're going to have Psalms 114 read.
When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from all people of strange languages, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the hills and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thee sea? That thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou was driven back. Ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the presence of the sovereign, at the presence of Aloha, Elo of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters.
Amen. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us a Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room, furnish, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire, have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of Yahweh. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this cup and divide it amongst yourself. And that cup we have already had. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Think about that. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also, the cup after supper. After supper. We had our supper. What cup this is? Just a little slower reading. Yeshua was participating in what we did. What we're doing tonight, our master did. And here we are, we're getting to take part in that. That ought to move people. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup, he distinguished this cup from all other cups. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Matthew 16, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to such a man, saying to him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thine house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yeshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Master, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the dish. We dipped our hand in the dish. Some of you shared a dish. All these things are significant. Some of you shared. He said, he who shares and dips with me, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto them, thou hast said. Instead of a question, should have been a statement there. It is I. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The cup of redemption, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Messiah redeems us, but when the fullness of time had come, Elohim sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4:4-5. The same night in which the Lord was betrayed, master service to open their bread. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he gave it to his disciples and told them to eat this bread. I'm going to ask our ushers to pass you a bread. And I want you to hold it in your hand. In a moment, we're going to take a piece of this bread. We're going to remember the Lord's body that has been broken for us. Has everyone been served a piece? He took the bread and he gave thanks. I want you to hold this bread and I want you to think about it. Think about, in order to get the blood, the lamb had to be slain. Something died for me. Died for me. Remember, we just got finished talking about where we were. In darkness, in despair, in death. And he delivered us out of that. Time and time again, he shows us his great deliverance. But now we're at the cup of redemption. This is a big deal. Because when you break this bread, the lamb is slain, the blood is shed. Now you have what it takes to put on the post so we can enter in. He broke the bread. He said, take it and eat it. Let's receive the bread together. After the same manner also he took the cup. This cup, I hope that you remember, this is the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption. Now you have the blood. You're holding it in your hand. You can apply it to the doorpost of your heart. This is what Passover is all about. Annually, we should think about these things. Apply it to the doorpost of your heart. You're entering in. Remember, it's about entering in and being safe. And remember, they stood at the Red Sea and they were protected. Doors have a sense of protection. But when you enter in, you're entering into a threshold covenant. You're going to cross, you can't enter the door unless you cross the threshold. And you're saying, as you take this cup, your rules are what I'm going to live by. I don't come to the door with my own rules. I don't come with demands. I come with nothing. I come poor in spirit. I come poor in spirit, because of from the last two cups, I realized when I stood before God, my condition was terrible. Death and despair and depravity, I was in trouble. But now I come to the door in poor in spirit. You remember, he takes the poor and he takes the dust off of them. Why does the scripture refer to that? If you've been a slave for as long as they have, and you were working in brick and mortar, your whole body would be covered in what? Dust. But he takes you through the mikveh, the washing of the water through the Red Sea, and you come out on the other side. You've done nothing. You come out on the other side. What was it a symbol of? He was showing them a symbol that I'm going to clean you, purify you. And it was all spiritual. They walked across on what? Dry ground. It was all spiritual. He wants to wash us with the washing of water by the word. He took the cup and he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." Remember what it's used for, in my blood. Let's apply it. What are we applying it for? To protect the firstborn. To protect the firstborn. You become the firstborn. You become the firstborn. Let's receive the cup together. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. The cup of praise, the fourth cup. Again, I want to emphasize the fourth cup. Do you know that Judah was the fourth son? And Yeshua came from he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. God is amazing. I mean, if we tried to make it up, we'd be hard-pressed to get it all fit in there. But he paints with the brush. It's just amazing, the painting that he paints for us, if we'll just take our time in the Word. The fourth and final cup is a picture of restoration and completeness. This is one reason it is sometimes called the cup of hope, acceptance, or salvation. I prefer its more common name, Hallel. Hallel, the cup of praise. Though the Passover is the beginning of Yahweh's Moedim feast cycle, in it, he declares the end, the fourth cup. Elohim desires has always been to restore us or deal with our sin and then deal with us for eternity. He don't just want to fix our problem, but he wants us to be his forever. If you think he moves on you just to fix your issues, that's not his intent. That's a residual effect of his presence. His presence can't help but fix. His intent is to live with you forever. That's his intent. Thus, with the fourth cup, we await the coming kingdom of heaven where Yeshua will be our king. Wine can be a symbol of judgment or blessing. Wine can be a symbol of judgment or blessing. A cup or a kos can denote the same imagery. Passover weaves both of these themes together seamlessly. Sin and wickedness must be judged. There is a false bread and a false wine that competes with Yahweh's covenant Passover meal. like the righteous woman and the harlot. Both called and asked one to rest in their presence. Proverbs 4. Hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and when thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the paths of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. Verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. There is false bread and false wine. My goal is to show you which one is going to be best for our life. We can go through the form of everything, but I'm telling you, unless the scripture has declared it, it is false. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more until a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Think about this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Notice that verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Obviously, the harlot feeds one false bread and wine, which is in reality, a covenant of wickedness. The problem is that the nephesh, or flesh, craves the spiritual false bread and wine just as one often prefers processed junk food rather than healthy plants and animals that Abba meant for our consumption. And it's the truth. Once you have it, you crave it. It's designed for you to crave it. And if you think that battle's real, just think about the spiritual warfare that happens in our life. It's a craving that happens. We're trying to figure out why we feel the way we feel. We feel that way because our flesh is constantly warring against the spirit. And the spirit has no choice but to do what? War against the flesh. It's a constant battle. Once you've had it, you want it. That's why we constantly have to fill ourselves with the things of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this in verse 23. And the very Elohim of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Master Yeshua. Notice what his interest is. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. How many see that? Faithful is he that called you, and he will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless under the coming of the Master Yeshua. How many thank God for that? Isaiah 55, we'll close with this. I want you to think about this. We had this in our series. I think Brother Josh read this last Sunday, I believe. Isaiah 55. So shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I mean, thank God for that promise. I'm going to read it again. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Think about it. Unto singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns, there shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briars, shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The cup of praise. I will take you as my people. Messiah is our joy. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. One day, the fourth cup, we'll take it with Messiah. When he takes to the vine again, we'll take the fourth cup. What a day that's going to be. He actually gives us a feast that it's going to be. It's going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the feast will be tabernacled among us. He's going to tabernacle. It's going to be permanent. It won't be temporary, but permanent. We'll receive this together. We're going to have the reading of Psalms 136. Who had 15? 115, come.
Not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their Elohim? But our Elohim is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear Yahweh, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. Yahweh hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear Yahweh, both small and great. Yahweh shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of Yahweh, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are Yahweh's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. The dead praise not Yah, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless Yah from this time forth and forevermore. Praise Yah.
We're going to come to the conclusion. The singers could come up and get ready. Brother Josh is going to read Psalms 136.
Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Elohim of mighty ones, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Sovereign of sovereigns, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With the strong hand and with the stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, and his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Whom remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And had redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto El of heaven, for his mercy endure it forever.
The whole point is that I believe he wants to emphasize to us his mercy endureth forever. You ought to take some time and read that chapter. I mean, he really, really emphasized in that chapter his mercy endures forever. We wanted the reader to know his mercy endureth forever. So every Passover, that will be the ending chapter that's read. And I believe this will carry you on through unleavened bread and first fruits. You're going to know his mercy endureth forever. So when you feel like you're at the Red Sea, standing there, and it looks like the enemy is pounding, getting them closer and closer, just know this: his mercy endureth forever. Amen. When it seemed there'd be no hope, his mercy endures forever. Don't make no difference what the world says, or anybody says, His mercy endures forever. Amen. So we're going to sing this song, and as we finish this song, this will conclude our service for Passover. My prayer is that you got something out of this. We will keep doing everything we can to stay within the perimeters of Scripture and add to what we can. But I want you to look forward to next year. Make it a point that there was something you said to yourself this year, that come next year, I'm going to be better prepared. I'm going to make sure that I do everything. You know why we should do that? Because His mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen.